Welcome to another episode of the Seneca Financial Solutions podcast. My name is Jordan Travers, and again, I'm sitting down with Luke Larrativ to discuss last night's US equity decline. S&P, Dow Jones, NASDAQ all went down about 3-4%. Some stocks going down as much as 10, and the futures were, Australian futures were pointing towards a nearly 2% decline in the ASX this morning. So basically, in this episode, we're talking about how to deal with your emotions and make sure that you do the right things at the right time on a day like today when emotions are running a little bit hot, and some people are selling when they shouldn't, some people are buying when they shouldn't, and basically how to deal with that on a day like today. So there's tons of content here again, and I hope you get lots out of this episode, and here it is. Good morning, Luke.
Morning, George.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, given the Dow was down 3% last night.
832 points.
31 point, yeah, 32 points, you're right, yeah. It's a pretty big night.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big night.
So we woke up this morning and both rocked up to work.
Yeah.
In the office. And
like normally I would have read stuff in bed this morning, but I'm having a bit of trouble with like getting up at my usual kind of 6:30 a.m. time. Because I'm daylight savings has kind of got me, so I'm like a bit
it's whacked me
a little bit. I know that sounds silly, but it has. So yeah, I've been struggling a bit with that. So I you know, instead of waking up and stuffing around for half an hour reading my phone, I just get up, shower, and came straight to work.
Yeah,
and I got in and I had George set on his screen, oh, the Dow's down 800. I was like, it's quite a lot.
You know, like yeah, unusual amount, isn't it?
Yeah, like it's kind of crazy. So
So then, like, let's talk about the topic today, which is how to deal with a crash in the stock market.
Yeah, and I mean, this isn't a crash in the stock market. This is a 3% down, and the ASX at the moment's down 106 points. ASX 200 down 106 points, which is 1.76%. It has like gone under the sort of psychological barrier of 6,000, which it took us quite a while to break through.
Mm-hmm.
We had a range trading for almost a year where it was 55 to 5,800 just for like a year. Mm-hmm. And then the Trump tax cuts kind of took it higher. But that were, you know, that's a low earnings quality type rally. And then subsequently today, we've had a bit of a risk off, which for no real reason. I mean, yes, interest rates went up, but they went up 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. Sorry, not interest rates, bond prices went up 2 days ago. So it's a bit of a risk off for no reason.
Risk off meaning people are less excited to take on these big growth stocks, and so they're selling off just so they don't lose their money. Is that what that means?
Yeah, like just locking in profits and feeling like you don't want to be exposed to those companies anymore.
Yeah. What are those companies? Fangs, tech stocks.
Yeah, like all the tech stocks.
Ones with a high PE.
Like I'll just while we're here, give me a sec. So like we talked about PE stocks, like high PE stocks last week. And I mean, I'm just going to rattle off the top stocks here. Appen that are down today. Appen's down 9.7. WiseTech's down 9.6. Afterpay's down 7.5. Altium's down 7.3. Magellan's down 6. Xero's down 5. You know, Macquarie's down 3.8. Corporate Travel's down 3. So, you know, they're the stocks that have been getting hit because they're the ones that have been running. Now, Magellan's, I would put Magellan out of that list and Macquarie out of that list. That's because they're exposed to markets as a whole. They're not down because they're expensive. They're down because when
They own stocks that are expensive.
And when their performance is poor, when their funds under management go down, they earn less fees, just like me.
Yeah, so I mean, just to take it back, we got, you know, opened up the AFR, stocks down 800 points, or the Dow down 800 points.
Just gonna close it.
And you know, I was like, oh, well, what does this mean for what today is going to look like in terms of, you know, being in an investment firm? And you know, you didn't seem too worried. Why was that?
Why wasn't I worried?
Yeah.
Because I've read and I had a quick look and I saw why the market was down. and I realized that it was being irrational, and there wasn't really too much to stress about. And so then you just ride it.
Like, what alerted you to the fact that a market was being irrational and there's no need to stress about it?
Well, I mean, there might be, and it might not be the reason what that's being reported, but the reports that I read this morning from the major newspapers and media outlets all said that there was a general risk off feeling in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was started to panic about, you know, higher bond prices and higher interest rates, the Fed hiking rates too quickly and growth not catching up, upcoming earnings season being peak earnings, which is, you know, potential. Mm-hmm. But essentially it was a general kind of risk off. Now, these things generally don't last for that long.
Yeah.
And what you'll find is either earnings season will come out and things will be better than expected, or people will realize that, you know, it's actually...
economically, things are looking pretty fine.
Yeah, I think things are going okay. Yeah. So, you know, I think this is also quite a concentrated share price decline. It's really in that top quartile of valuations. Mm. And I'll do that in the weekly note this week.
Despite what the news headlines will make you think.
Yeah, we're watching Sky Business here and we're seeing them talk about the banks dragging the market down, which is a great headline grabber for all of you retirees and pre-retirees who own bank shares. But like, the banks are outperforming. They're actually only down 1.85%, and energy stocks are down 2.6%, for example. Healthcare is down 2.2%. Infotech's down 4.3%. So, yeah, I mean, the banks are down and they were performing a little bit better earlier, and they've just weakened against the market now as the market's recovered, and material stocks in particular have recovered, which is, you know, your BHPs and Rios. But as a general comment, they're having a pretty decent day in the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, look, the core reason why I'm not stressed about this kind of stuff is because bond yields are pricing in future interest rates, expectation of interest rates. They've had a sharp move upwards, which is, you know, not good.
Suggesting that interest rates will rise further.
Quickly,
yep.
You know, will rise quickly and high. However, the Federal Reserve, the US Federal Reserve, has control of interest rates. They set the rate.
Mm, I think people forget this.
So they make that up. So if markets like have a big downturn or, you know, like go to shit for a while, like the Fed has spent 10 years trying to get them to not do that.
Mm.
So they're not going to just let it slide off the face of the earth. They'll cut rates again, or they'll tell the market they're going to keep rates on hold until things settle down. And sort of, so you've kind of got this implicit protection from the Fed. And I think that should underpin a level of confidence and certainty. And whilst it might not underpin, you know, wise tech trading on, I don't know what it's trading on, but say 40 times earnings or whatever.
Sure.
It's expensive. It does underpin, if you're buying more reasonably priced companies, and, you know, we always talk about the idea of sort of growth at a reasonable price, and yeah, you know, I don't really buy a lot of stuff on 30 and 40 times earnings. I think Breville's probably the most expensive company I've bought recently.
Which is nowhere near that level.
No, and I bought it on 24 times earnings. Yeah. And it's a much, much higher quality than the average company in the market. And the market's on, say, 16 and a half, 17 times earnings. So...
is that sort of like with the Fed, you know, controlling the interest rates, we shouldn't be too alarmed because they, you know, do have all the power. That's a similar sort of situation we see with... Australia banks and property. You know, people shouldn't really expect a huge catastrophic slide in property prices, because then defaults will rise and banks, you know, will, their profits will go down. So why would they cause interest rates to go up in such a way that would cause that?
Yeah, so, you know, even though I think in Australia, because we have such a concentration of lending, specifically home loan lending, amongst four companies, really two of those four companies, Westpac and CBA, are the most exposed to mortgages. ANZ a little bit more so in recent years, and NAB's a little bit more of a business bank. But I think, in answer to your question, they will raise rates to maintain their margins, but not so much so that they can't handle the bad debts that are resultant from those changes in rates. no point making a $100 profit to then see, you know, 70 of it or 80, you know, 80 of it disappear in higher, you know, bad and doubtful doubt, either provisions or actual impairments,
right.
You know, so they can manage that to a certain degree, and they would, you know, logically manage that to a certain degree. I think you'll find the way the banks, if the banks don't make as much money as we think, the way that won't happen is because of loan volumes. So because of that sort of equation I was talking about, where they can't really raise interest rates because it will, most of the benefit to them will disappear from, you know, bad and doubtful debts or increased impairments to their loans, to their assets. So they can't do that. So then what happens is they actually just end up lending less money and making less loans because they're not as profitable, and they move into other areas that are more profitable.
Okay.
Maybe commercial or, you know, some other type of, you know, money lending. So that's where bank shares would suffer, is because the volumes go down, the sales go down, and the banks are still maintaining the same margin but on less turnover. So that's the sort of
that's the nuts of that.
The downside case for banks.
So bringing it back to, you know, the topic of today's chat, like, how does one look at what happened overnight and the futures this morning and assess what's going to happen for the day, whether or not to sell or buy stocks, and, you know, what's the sort of general process and strategy to look at the day of trading ahead?
Look, today is not the day to be doing that. Every other day is the day to do that. You know, like we talked about it on Friday, like, prepare your portfolio for what's happening, you know, and when the trends are evident, as this trend has been for 18 months, prepare. You know, you can still participate in markets in a safer way. I don't know how many times I've written it, but it's been a lot. Like, chasing high PE growth stocks in this market is dangerous. Dangerous. I've written it. I can't. I mean, you tell me. You're the student.
He's written it.
I've written it a lot, right? Like, and if you own those stocks today, you're down 5 to 10%. If you own, like, let's do some of my value stocks, like cheaper stocks that we've been, you know, that we've owned, like Huon, it's down 2.6% for a single stock. Not too bad. Breville, down 2.3%. Let me just...
And we're comparing this with 5 to 10% as well.
Yeah, right. I'm just going to pull up a random client's portfolio here. Okay, Amcor. It's up 1.18%. Admittedly, good, you know, good thing. Integral Diagnostics. It's down 2 cents. $2.77, 0.72% negative. Let's look at Zip. It's down 7%. Why? High growth, high PE, high valuation company, right?
It's in the tech sector as well.
It's in the tech sector. Like, you know, that's a dangerous one. So, like, Gage Roads, down 2%. Like, it's just not, it's not the whole market. These big moves in every stock. Yes, all stocks will be down. 90%, most stocks will be down today, right? The aversion to stocks, pretty broad brush, but the concentration of those and how the market works is actually in the nuance, is actually where you know stuff, where you start to learn things. So I would be encouraging people to look at the actual detail, pay attention to the detail, and try and figure out what that's telling you about portfolios and whether that's going to be more or less true in the future. And my gut feel is it'll be more true. I mean, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I'll let's go.
This is where it pays to look at good companies, and,
you know, it's also data. Like, we always talk about, you know, having access to information. Like, I'm just doing this as we're talking, you know. Okay, so Appen is on 40 times earnings, last year's earnings, and it's on 36 times forecast earnings, and has received, where's my EPS upgrades, revisions. It's had positive 5 to 10% revisions, 12% revisions over the last 6 months. So pretty, everyone's pretty bullish about that company. I mean, you know, been doing pretty good. So, you know, there's risk that the earnings get revised down and we're willing to pay less for those earnings. So I like Appen, good business. Like, I've got no dramas with it, but you've got to pay the right price for it. And we've been, you know, talking to clients and talking to you guys about high PE stocks for a while. And, you know, they're great till they're not. Momentum's fantastic till it's not. And when it swings like today.
Mm-hmm.
And it swings in a big way.
So today you just sit back and do nothing, or are you looking for buying opportunities? I'm looking for
buying opportunities. I just had a look at the banks. You know, they're on a 10% dividend yield pretty much at the moment.
It's huge.
It's huge, right, with the franking. So that's kind of interesting for me. Most of my clients are pretty happy if I can make them 10% per annum.
Mm.
So that looks pretty interesting to me. You know, you guys know I'm not a huge fan of banks in terms of, you know, growth or doing particularly well. And I think there's risk, don't get me wrong.
Mm.
But historically, you've done pretty well if you've been able to buy the banks on a 7% net yield.
Mm-hmm.
We did that. We had a look at that earlier today as well. There's a few other, you know, Macquarie is a really high quality business. We sold some shares at 125, 123, 122, whatever it was. Back under 120 now. I'll have a little look, maybe a little nibble,
mm-hmm.
see what happens. Mm-hmm. But like I said, a lot of the stocks that I like actually haven't gone down that much. I think Magellan 26.65 should be interesting.
Okay.
And yeah, they'll ride this better than most people.
Would anything force you to sell a stock on a day like today?
Yeah, I mean, if I'd owned high PE stuff,
mm-hmm.
And I wasn't comfortable with it, I mean, like, expectations, you know, Zip we don't have as much as we used to, and. But, you know, like I said, none of the stocks I own are down in a real material way outside of the stuff that's down in line with the market.
And if they are, you still believe in the business long term and the
fundamentals. Yeah, I'm kind of happy with it. So, yeah, you know, I'm not going to write it out. Not going to stress too much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's kind of how I look at the day.
It's good to know. Excellent. I think there's a good little, good few tips there for people to work out what to do on a day like today. We'll try and publish this right now just so you get to have some live feed from this morning in the Seneca HQ.
Really quick little hit, so hopefully that's useful for you and you can peacefully enjoy your lunch now knowing that the world's not going to end.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Luke.
Thanks, JT.